I'm Darren Levy, and this is Citywide, airing every Tuesday evening from 7:30 to 8 p.m. right here on WNYU 89.1 FM New York and WNYU.org in New York University Radio. Citywide features insight from some of New York's most innovative artists. Today we will be talking with Paul Berman. He's curated an event that will take place at NYU tomorrow titled Carl Sandburg, Modernist? And now here to talk with us is Paul. Thanks so much for joining us here on Citywide, Paul.
I'm glad to be here.
Tell us about this event that's happening tomorrow.
The event tomorrow is an event having to do with Carl Sandburg, the poet. Carl Sandburg wrote some of the most famous poems in American literature, really. His poem about Chicago, his poem Fog. Everybody knows those poems, or will faintly remember them at least. And I've organized an event in which group of poets are going to read, an artist is going to show a painting, a great composer is going to perform a composition together with chorus, and a soloist, a historian is going to speak, and it's going to be a general extravaganza at 6 o'clock tomorrow at NYU.
Right, it sounds like there's a lot going on. What makes this so unique, this event?
Well, what makes it unique is I like to think the concept, which is mine, and then the participants who have agreed to take part in it, the concept is to try and take some figure from the past, like Sandburg, whose greatest writings were from the 1910s and 20s, his greatest poems, and speak about him in the present as people living in the present, not as archivists of the past, not as historians of long ago, but as writers, artists, musicians living today, and to try and look at Sandburg in the spirit of today, what he means to us, what he means to each of the participants individually. And as for the participants, well, I think there's quite a little group. I've got four poets are going to read different poems by Sandburg and comment on them. Maybe they'll speak among themselves. The poets include Edward Hirsch, who's a tremendous poet, and also a critic and author of a work called How to Read a Poem, which a lot of people take very seriously. Jeffrey O'Brien, who's likewise a poet, a critic, whose writings appear regularly in the New York Review. A guy with an ear for the avant-garde. Megan O'Rourke, whose first book of poems is about to come out later this month from Norton. And Megan O'Rourke is somebody who's also written criticism for the Times, Book Review, and many other places. And she's the literary editor of Slate, the online magazine, and one of the poetry editors of the Paris Review. And the final poet is Harvey Shapiro, who's a very distinguished poet who's been writing for many years. Harvey Shapiro is also well known for having been for 7 or 8 years the editor-in-chief of the New York Times Book Review. And he's someone whose memory goes back a ways, too, because he was a part of a bomber crew in World War II and was decorated for that and flew missions over Germany and this sort of thing. So his memory does go back a ways. Mm-hmm. In addition, one of the other speakers will be Sean Wilentz, the historian, who's the author of a great book, a masterpiece called The Rise of American Democracy, which came out last year. And Wilentz is, among other things, the historian in residence at the official Bob Dylan website, which is very distinguished. And, a professor at Princeton, which I guess is not quite as distinguished, but still up there. And Sean Wilentz is going to read from Sandburg's historical writings, because Sandburg did write on history as well. He wrote a gigantic, extravagant biography of Lincoln, and Sean Wilentz will read from that. But on top of that, the participants are going to include a group of other people. And let me begin by mentioning the first of them. and that's Lucas Foss. Lucas Foss is a great American composer and a great in the classical music vein, and a great famous conductor. He was the director of the Brooklyn Philharmonic for many years. Has conducted, I guess, most of the or many of the principal orchestras around the world, and is a man who's had a distinguished career as a pianist too. Lucas Foss, when he was quite young, when he was 22 or so, composed a cantata based on a poem by Sandburg. The poem is called Prairie, and the cantata is called The Prairie. And Lucas Foss's cantata was first performed by the Boston Symphony in 1943 under Serge Koussevitzky. And it received a number of performances after that and helped launch Foss in his very distinguished career as composer. But then, afterwards, for some reason, it dropped out of the repertory and hasn't been performed in a full version in New York, in the New York area, for more than 30 years. This summer, however, there will be a couple of performances. It's being revived by the director, Mark Mangini, with the Greenwich Village Singers and the Choral Society of the Hamptons, two choruses, which Mangini is joining together, and he'll be directing the Brooklyn Philharmonic with soloists. So the performances this summer will be by the Symphony Orchestra, the Brooklyn Philharmonic, the joined choruses, and soloists. At the event tomorrow, Mark Mangini will be there with the Greenwich Village Singers and a soloist, a soprano soloist, and Lucas Foss will actually play the piano. He wrote at some point a piano reduction to his orchestral score for his cantata, The Prairie, and he will play a snippet, at least, of his piano reduction. So we're going to be able to hear tomorrow an absolutely remarkable, really a historic performance, which is a little snippet of Lucas Foss's The Prairie, a forgotten work and yet a major work based on Sandburg, and we're going to hear it with Lucas Foss himself. I should mention that the concerts that will take place this summer are in celebration of Lucas Foss's 85th birthday. So this is also someone with a long memory. And then there's one other participant who has already contributed something tremendous to the event tomorrow, and that is Cornelia Foss, Lucas Foss's wife. Cornelia Foss is a very distinguished artist, portrait painter. She teaches at the Art Students League, the National Academy. She's quite well known. And she and Lucas Foss were friends of Sandburg's. Sandburg died in 1967, but they were his friends. And Sandburg had agreed back in 1943 to allow the very young Lucas Foss to compose the cantata, and they managed to strike up a friendship after that. I've had sent to Cornelia Foss some photographs of Sandburg, and she has taken one of those photographs and has used it to paint a portrait of him, and we'll be exhibiting the portrait tomorrow, and for the first time. And this portrait of Sandburg, it's quite a moving portrait. It's beautifully done. You feel the real Sandburg. You feel a real man in his crudeness and in his sensitivity, in his power. You feel the real man. And this portrait, I wonder, I ask myself, how many portraits of Carl Sandburg will ever be done in the future by someone who knew him, by someone who knew him well? So it's easy to imagine that this will be one of the last portraits of Sandburg, and it's a little awesome to remember that Sandburg was born in 1878. So the memory that's recalled will be recalled at tomorrow's event is a very long memory. We'll be looking back on Sandburg. We'll be looking back on his poetry. poetry on the cantata by Lucas Foss from 1943, and we'll be looking at the man himself, as recalled on canvas by Cornelia Foss, and we'll be doing all of that, as I say, in the spirit of the present, because what's remarkable about all these performances is that they are all taking place in the present. Cornelia Foss's portrait of Sandburg is something that she's painted just now, on commission, really, for this event. So this is a brand new work of art done just now, and Lucas Foss's cantata is going to be played by Lucas Foss on the piano, along with the Mark Mangini and the Greenwich Village Singers and soloists, and the poets and the historian likewise. And I will speak too. I'm at the occasion of the for the event is a book that I've published called Carl Sandburg's Selected Poems, of which I'm the editor, and I wrote the introduction. The book came out a few months ago from the Library of America in its American Poets Project series. So the book is really an attempt to present Sandburg anew to readers who may not know him, or to readers who may be a little jaded about Sandburg, or might have an impression of Sandburg that I think has been distorted somewhat by the shape of Sandburg's career and by the years and by the strange chances of reputation that descend on any extremely well-known writer like himself. So there's a Sandburg to be rescued, and I hope I've rescued Sandburg in the book, Carl Sandburg, Selected Poems. So I'll be speaking too, and that's the event. It's an attempt to live in the present and look at the past and think about Sandburg as poet and as someone who inspired music and someone who inspired art, and then Sandburg as historian, as the biographer of Lincoln. That's going to be the event. I think it'll be a lively thing.
Well, it definitely sounds like a night that'll be very amazing and not one to be missed. You know, it's funny because, there's definitely a lot of history, a lot of important history there, but then, you know, you tell about Carl Sandburg and you say, oh, he wrote Chicago, and people think, the Broadway play? Not the poem.
Right.
And why do you think all that history has mostly been forgotten?
Well, I think it's been forgotten and not forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, any writer from long ago tends to fade into the past, and people forget about him. Sandburg's greatest period as poet, as I say, was in the 1910s and 20s, so that is long ago. I think the problem with Sandburg's reputation, the reason why more people don't remember him, has to do with his later career. His greatest period was the 1910s and 20s, but in later years, through the 1930s and later, he continued writing poetry, and I think his later poetry was not as good, and some of it was, to my eyes or ears, unreadable. And yet, at the time, in the 30s and 40s and 50s, people continued to celebrate it as if his later poetry was as good as his earlier poetry, which it wasn't. And I think as a result of that, some people turned away from Sandburg. There was a backlash against him because he ended up having something of a false reputation. That is, the moment at which fame and glory and Pulitzer Prizes descended upon him was the period around 1950. But that was not his greatest period. His greatest period had come and gone by then, So the Sandburg who was presented to the general public as a gigantic figure was really a Sandburg who was no longer at his best. This had a bad effect on his poetry, I think, and he himself lost his edge. I think he couldn't keep it up forever. That's true of a lot of poets, sometimes of playwrights, sometimes of any kind of writer. Writers sometimes have a period of a few years, or 10 years, or 20 years, maybe when they are really at their height, and then they lose it, and it's something that happens. they can be very brutal for a writer's reputation, not to mention for a writer's life. Sandberg, I think, didn't experience the brutality of it in his life of this kind of career, because he had the wit to put his main energy in the 20s and 30s into writing his giant Lincoln biography, and he had a lot of other projects going too. So I think he had an immensely successful career. But these oddities of his career, the twists and turns, are the reason, I think, why his name has lost some of its luster, and a lot of people have tended to forget him, and sophisticated literary people tend to remember him for too much for his later poetry, which is, as I say, some of it is unreadable, there's a sentimental aspect, a sentimental crude aspect to Sandberg, which in his later years is a little hard to take, and these are the factors, I think. But one of the purposes tomorrow night will be to try and find our way back to the Sandberg, who was, in my opinion, great. Although some of the other participants may disagree, we'll find out.
You're listening to Citywide on WNYU 89.1 FM New York. I'm Darren Levy, and I'm talking with Paul Berman, who curated the event that will take place tomorrow, Carl Sandburg, Modernist. Now, one thing that intrigues me about Carl Sandburg is that he was also a journalist. So how do poetry and journalism relate?
Journalism and poetry, in Sandburg's case, are related quite closely. Sandburg's poetry owes great deal, really, to journalism. He's unusual in this respect, although not totally without precedent. We have to remember that, after all, Walt Whitman,
right,
in the 19th century, was originally a journalist, turned to writing poetry only later. And there is a journalistic quality in Whitman, an attention to the things that are happening now, an attention to public events, and an instinct for speaking to the ordinary reader, the great mass of readers, not just to a tiny coterie who might be interested in poetry. And there is in Whitman an attempt to get some larger sense of the American reality and the American identity. And all of this you can see in Sandberg, too. Sandberg's journalism began in the early 1900s when he was a journalist first at an old-time socialist newspaper in Wisconsin, where he got his start. Then he moved to Chicago, and he was at the Chicago Daily News and other newspapers. He was a real journalist, cranking it out, and he wrote also for magazines, left-wing magazines, and he too, like Whitman, attended to very large themes. And he wrote labor journalism. He wrote about the unions, strikes, oppression and exploitation. He wrote about his own city of Chicago with a sense of love and of horror at the same time, and so the journalism figured quite importantly in those ways, but also figured in Sandberg's poetry in two additional ways that aren't true of Whitman's journalism. One thing is that some of Sandberg's journalism has the quality of a certain kind of hard-boiled, sentimental newspaper column writing, which, if you think back on, if anybody has an ancient memory, there were some famous journalists in Chicago like Ben Hecht and other people, the journalist of The Front Page, which was a famous play, and then was a movie, and you can see it late at night, a kind of romance of the Daily Press, and a kind of sentimental, hard-boiled newspaper column writing grew up in Chicago, not only in Chicago, but Chicago was great at it, and You can see some of these inspirations in Sandburg, a lot of poems which really have the quality of a newspaper report rendered into verse. The other way in which Sandburg's journalism enters into his poetry has to do with the lines themselves, the prosody, the vocabulary, the rhetoric that he uses. Sandburg had an ear for ordinary speech, for the words that you would hear on the sidewalk, in the streets, in the stores, in ordinary places, in bars. And he managed to be able to see in this language, the ordinary language of the street, a source of poetry, to see in this language something that contained already the elements of a novel kind of prosody or sense of meter and rhythm. And he was able to make a poetry of it. So his poetry has a feeling that comes from the man being alert to what's happening on the street. Some of the poems seem to be borrowed directly from commercial billboards. Some of them appear to be overheard on the sidewalk or in the streets. And this is really, I think, the most interesting quality in Sandburg. And it ends up sounding, at least in my ear, very modern. Not because the language is modern, because, of course, ordinary language or slang changes dramatically from decade to decade, but very modern in his inspiration to see in this kind of language, the language of the streets, the language of the billboards, the potential for poetry, to understand that there's a rhythm of language that can be found on the streets. There's a music on the streets, and he was able to cock his ear to that. Something that Whitman never did and never wanted to do. And I think it's something that before Sandburg, really nobody did. And there were other ways before Sandburg in the 19th and 18th centuries of writing and what the poets like to think of as ordinary language. But the ordinary language that the poets presented in the 19th and 18th centuries was really itself an artifice, and Sandburg's poetry is not an artifice. It's a collage of really existing phrases, and this collage quality is the modern thing. You can feel an excitement in it.
And what do you enjoy most about Sandburg's work?
What I enjoy is that sense of rhythm. I think that all writing is really, in the end, all writing that has any claim to being literature or all writing that's any good, really, all writing that's any good is built on a rhythm or on a melody. There has to be a rhythm and a melody in the words. Now, in the case of poetry, the rhythm or the meter can come from any number of sources, but Sandburg was able to find it, as I say, in the ordinary spoken language, language as it is and not as it's supposed to be. And I think by doing this, he found a living quality in poetry. I look at his poems, and I feel how energetic they are, how some of the lines in his poems have to be read in one way and cannot be read in any other way, and you look at the words and you understand instantly and immediately how they should be read. And this is really what all good, really good writing should do. And Sandburg is able to do it. At the same time, I'm interested by a spirit that he evokes, which is this spirit from 1910 or so. It's a left-wing spirit. It's a spirit of indignation at social conditions, industrial conditions. It's a spirit of social anger at the injustices of modern life. It's a spirit of real sympathy for working people or for people who are not even working, who don't even have the pleasures of being exploited in a dreadful Chicago factory of 1910, but people who are unemployed, or really down and out, people who are in prison, or are completely lost and isolated. He had a feeling for this, for the very poor, the very oppressed, up to the ordinary working class of his time, and his feeling for these things, for these kinds of people and their lives they lived, gave him a sense of indignation and protest, which I admire. But at the same time, he was able to join this feeling with a kind of lively and animated spirit of optimism or appreciation for his era, and for Chicago, and for industry, and for America, and for all the things that point forward to a better life. And he was able to conjure a spirit that's both indignant and tragic and pessimistic, with a spirit which is hopeful and uplifted and animated. And it's a strange combination, a difficult combination to bring together. But in quite a few of his poems, he was somehow able to do that. And I find that very interesting, very moving. It's something I don't think anybody does today. I don't think anybody can do it today. But it's something that lives, I think, in Sandburg, and which I find to be moving, deeply moving.
It looks like we're going to have to finish up, but before we do, after attending tomorrow's event, what do you want someone to leave with?
I want someone to leave with an impression of how marvelous some of, at least, of Sandburg's poetry is. I want people to leave with a sense of the liveliness and possibilities of living today, and not just looking into the past. I hope that the evening will conjure a spirit of the arts today and of thinking today. And I hope that the audience will leave with a sense of that. And then I think the audience should also leave with a sense of what a historic opportunity it is to see Lucas Foss, the musicians, perform this largely forgotten cantata from 1943, based on Sandburg, Lucas Foss's The Prairie. This will be a real opportunity, because just think of 1943. It's World War II. It's many things, and we're going to have a couple of veterans of that era at the event, and I'd like people to leave with a sense of how awesome all of that is. How great is poetry? How great is music? How great is art? And that's what I hope for. We haven't mentioned where it is. It's going to be on Washington Square, one of the halls on Washington Square, on the east side of the square, Hammerdinger Hall, which is 100 Washington Square East, at 6 o'clock. And so that's where the event will be, and it'll be quite an event. And I hope people with an interest in this kind of thing will recognize it and come and see for themselves.
You definitely have a lot of information about Carl Sandburg and the figure that he was, and I hope you have a great time tomorrow night. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Carl Sandburg, Modernist, will take place at Hammerdinger Hall in the Silver Building at 100 Washington Square East tomorrow, April 4th. It will start at 6 p.m. and is open to the public. That's it for Citywide. I'm Darren Levy. You can email your comments about today's show to citywide@wnyu.org. Visit Citywide on the web at wnyu.org/citywide. We'll be back next week with more Arts Talk, but for now, keep it here on New York University Radio, because up next is experimental acoustic music with Heather on Outside. Thanks so much for tuning in, and from everyone here at WNYU News, have a great night.